Morning. Praise the Lord. We went through Lala, okay? All right. Praise God. All right. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just want to thank you. We thank you for who you are, and we thank you, Father God, for our body of Christ. Lord God, that you have given us a brother and sister in Christ. Lord God, that who we can rely on, and Lord God, to pray together, to heal one another, Lord God. And God, I pray, Father God, that you will touch us today as we come together, Father God, to, Lord, touch heavens, Father God, together as we cry out before you, Lord God. Lord, I ask you, Lord God, that you will touch us, Father God. And Lord God, give us the words that we need to hear today, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray, amen and amen. Amen. I was praying about what I'm going to really preach today. And then, you know, these days, Pastor John is teaching us about the inner healing through Wellspring Ministry. And the elders are taking the course. And soon, we are actually going to take that as a church as a whole. And one of the things that I thought about as I learning this thing, you know, this the basically a lot of things that the Wellspring's teaching is not anything really new, because it's actually a very basic things that what Christians supposed to do, because we're supposed to repent and we're supposed to forgive, and out of those forgiveness and the repentance, God's power flows, and a lot of times that our power stops. It's not that God is not strong or the cross of Jesus Christ is not sufficient. But because of our lack of obedience, our disobedience in a part of the word of God, we hold his power to come into our life, to heal us and touch us in many ways. And I thought about it. I said, Lord, we got so much knowledge in today's church. You know, if you don't come to church because of Nala, you could always turn on the YouTube, and you got tons of preachers preaching many different messages, way better than I can preach, and all those are available for us. You know, I gotta really be careful of how, you know, preaching certain things and talking about certain statistics, because I know you guys Google it. Is he really telling the truth? And all those things are available for you guys to check in your fingertip. You have so much knowledge available for us. But my question is, why do you have so much bondage? In spite of so much of knowledge that is preached and talked about, but why is there so much problems among the body of Christ? And one of the things that I was struggling and asking the Lord, you know, and then one of the things that God spoke to me as I teaching the Christian Academy kids, and we talk about a couple of things, it's about being courageous. Be brave. Well, what is being courageous means? Can you turn on my first slide? Courageous together. What does it mean, being courageous? I went to, I was in the military for a while, and one of the things that I never forget was that I was in Virginia Military Institute, VMI, and I was there for about 2 years. And I remember, man, when you go there, the first, they have a thing called a hell week. And truly, they try to make your life hell. You know, that first 2 weeks, they'll come and they're going to scare you to death. Oh, my gosh. You know, you go in there, and then, you know, they start yelling at you. They start cutting all your hairs, and you cannot look anybody else. And my goodness, and then they work you out so much that you can't Did you guys know that when you do push-ups so much that you cannot touch your nose, your hand able to break down and you can't really touch your nose? I mean, you come to the breakdown and you're so tired and exhausted because they work out so much. And then, you know, you go into the bunk bed. You know, they don't ask you, so would you like to have roommate with this guy? They don't ask you that. You say, 1, 2, 3, 4, go to room 5. 1, 2, 3, and here we are. We have no idea who they are. And then we are there, and we are all scared. And then soon as we hear the bugle, and our head hitting the pillow, we're sleeping. And we are just knocked down. And then after 2 hours later, they kick the door on us. Say, get out, rat. You know, they call us rat. They don't even call us a human being. Get out, rat, and bring us all out within 2 minutes, putting us into this dark auditorium and put flashlight all over the place. And they start screaming and yelling at us. And then this big, gigantic guy comes out, put a flashlight on his face. And he goes like, rat, welcome to hell. And here we are. Oh, we are all shivering like rat, truly. And then he goes like, oh, my gosh, Lord, where are we? And in that process of breaking down of the hell week, first years, you know, we call all those red line, they call it. We learn how to rely on each other as a classmate. And we are there and we are able to survive because my classmates, my people, my brother rat, that we call it, are there to taking care of each other. And we're not afraid anymore as we used to be. It's because we have people around us. I heard that from the combat veteran. I went to military, but I was never in combat. But combat veteran said, you know, when they go into the combat, they fight for the nation initially, fight for the cause. But at the end, they end up fighting for each other, fighting for each other. And I think that's so important. I think that it is important for us to come to church, and we got to learn to have that fellowship to one another, able to have people that who you can open up and to really rely upon and to cry together and to laugh together and to have that. And so I titled my message that we courage together. You know, I remember that time that when I was in VMI, the Secretary of Army came and he gave us a speech, and whole cadet corps have to go there and we have to listen to him. No choice, you know. It doesn't matter what kind of homework that you have. You got to go up there and listen to him. And I never forget what he said. He said, you know, those people who said when you go to combat and bullets are flying everywhere, and he said, I'm never scared. I was never scared that the person is a liar. It doesn't matter how strong you think you are, how brave that you think you are, that you will get scared. But he said this, the courage is not absence of fear, but courage is learn how to overcoming that fear in our life. And that's what I want to really talk about today. How can we overcome that fear? Because a lot of us are facing giants in our lives today. You might not say, and you might not open up, but everybody have a problem, including pastors. Amen? Because even though you might not believe it, but we are human beings. And we all have a problem just like you. When we all have that, but how can we overcome that giants that we have? Because when David faced the Goliath, I know David learned how to overcome it way before he faced the giant. But there's a lot of soldiers, a combat veteran, or battle-hardened veterans were there. And here is David. He was not battle-hardened. But others were, but they were scared. They were fearful by looking at Goliath because they are big. They are huge. Our life problems are in human eyes are big. When those people who went to the promised land to spy out the land before they, you know, when Moses sent out the 12 spies, they weren't lying. When they say, they got a giant there. They got a fortress there that we cannot overcome. They were looking at it in their fleshly eyes, but they are not lying. They were looking at it with truly, honestly, it is huge and it was big. But there was two people who didn't see those things with their fleshly eyes. But they were looking at it with the spiritual eyes. And that's what I want to talk about today. How can we look at those giants that we have with our spiritual eyes? Because Joshua and Caleb said, no, I know what they're saying is right. But you know, I want to tell you that those things are nothing compared with our God. Because I remember the time that when I came out from Buddhist family and all my families were Buddhist, and you know, I was praying for my family. And it seemed to be so impossible for my families to come to Jesus. I've been praying for 5 years, nothing was happening. And then one day, Holy Spirit was telling me this. And I was driving in Shenandoah, in Virginia, you know, the Shenandoah, nearby the Shenandoah Mountain. And the Holy Spirit, I was driving on that, and Holy Spirit just all of a sudden spoke to my heart. And he said, why are you keep telling me how big the mountain is, but you never tell me how big I am? Because you are right. Your problem is bigger than that mountain, but I am bigger than that mountain. Then my whole prayer changed from that day on. I said, God, I am so sorry. Because I look at that problems and look at those giants, and I say to myself, I say, God, well, how big they are. God, how can you overcome this? I wasn't telling it directly like that to God, but I know that I meant it in that direction. And God read my heart. And he said, God said, I am bigger than that mountain. Some of you guys have that mountains in your life today. And you guys didn't come accidentally. God brought you here to hear this message. And God is telling you guys how it doesn't matter how big your mountain is. And maybe you have a problem with your relationship and unforgiveness and all those things. We all have that. And you know that what the Bible said. It said, hey, you don't forgive, I won't forgive your sin either. It's a big, huge burden that as a Christian that we go through. Lord, how can we then forgive those who seem to be unforgivable? And God said, I can do it through you if you let me. That's what it's about. So I want to go to the words today. And I want to start with this. Go to the first one. 1 John chapter 2, verse 12 through 14. It talk about the stage of our Christianity. You know, when you come to the Lord, there's a three stage that Bible actually talks about. So I'm going to read that a little bit. I am the writing to you, little children, because your sins are forgiven for his name's sake. I am writing to you, fathers, because you know him who is from the beginning. I am writing to you, young man, because you have overcome the evil one, and I write to you, children. And I stop right there because it repeats itself. And so let's go to a second slide. And he talks about it in the Bible that there is a three stage of our Christianity. No, number one is a child, knowing your salvation. So how do you become a child of God? Not every human being on this face of the earth, just because they are created by God, does not mean that they are a child of God. Only way that you can be a child of God is by accepting Jesus into your life. And I just want you guys to know and understand that Jesus is the only thing that you need for you to be saved. You don't have to do any good work. You don't have to do a confession. You don't have to go to the priest and say all those things. You don't have to do any of that. Only thing that you need is Jesus Christ. Because what Jesus has done on the cross is sufficient. And if you accept Jesus in your life, you are saved. Bible said that your name will be written down in the Lamb's book of life. That's all you need. You don't even have to change your habit. You don't have to even have to clean yourself. God will take care of that. God will take you out. Bible says, I will make you a fisher of men. And when you take, when the fisherman catches the fish, it's a fisherman's job to cleanse the fish too. So I want you guys to understand and know that when you guys are in the Lord, the only thing that you need is His grace to come. And when you accept Him into your life, that when you become His child, He will tell you what to do. He will teach you what to do. And that's what it is, the first stage. And a lot of us, unfortunately, in Christianity, we stop there. We stop at being saved. I am saved. I'm on my way to heaven. And your life, a lot of us, does not go any further. And then second thing that you get hit is that you hit with all the bondage that you used to have. And you don't know what to do with it. You know, when the children of Israel coming out of the wilderness, and very first thing they crossed was the Jordan River. That Jordan River represents the salvation. Now you are coming out of that wilderness, now going into the promised land. But when they crossed that Jordan River, the very first thing they hit with was Jericho, the gigantic wall. They said, oh my goodness, how are we going to take care of that? And that is a young man's stage. What do you do with the problems that you have? And I'm not going to go any further than that. I want to stick with the young man stage and expound on that a little bit. Can we go to next one? It says this in the Bible. It's a young man is talking about that you are overcome the evil one. You see, we cannot overcome the evil one. But Jesus already did it for you. But you got to learn how to flow with Him. It's not automatic things that you have to understand. Okay? It's not an automatic things that they will happen just because you become a Christian. Oh, man, oh, the devil will never mess with you again. He will not touch. Hey, I want you guys to understand and know this. When you get saved, the devil will come at you even harder. He will throw at you even greater things. I don't know about some of you guys, but my salvation experience was very different. I know some of you guys come out of the church one day and accept Jesus in your life, and then you went to the altar, you shed your tears and everything else, and you lift your hands, and I did some of that. But when I went home, I started hearing the demon voice, a voice of the demon. They said, I'm going to kill you today for the things what you have done. And I got into a deep depression. And I was skipping school, doing all kinds of stuff, which I never was doing all that stuff before. And I got worse. And I turned on the TV one day, and I heard this evangelist coming out. And through the gospel that he preached, my depression came out. I came out of the depression, and Lord, just touched my life. And experience the deliverance from Him. I want you guys to understand, devil will not leave you alone. You are truly in his target now. Because Jesus say this, devil come to steal, kill, and destroy. So how do you fight that? So on this young man's stage, you start to understand where you are, who you are. That's what that is. You see, understand what belongs to you, What kind of armament that God has given you? That's why you got to study the Word of God. That's why you got to come to church and looking at those elders, okay? Not just old people. I'm talking about elder in the Lord. Just because you are old does not mean that you're elder in the Lord, okay? You got to learn how to become the elder of the Lord. And there's some young people, the older people in the Lord, know how to engage in the battle. They might have some scars. They might have all those things. They're not perfect. But when you're looking at them, they know how to engage. They know how to pray. They know how to seek God. That's why you got to come to church, fellowship with those people, and say, God, teach me how to do it. Disciple me, Lord. Lord, bring a person in my life who can develop me and who can challenge me. You know, one of the big reasons that I go to Pastor John all the time is because he always questioned me. You guys might not like his question, but I like his question up to certain points until he goes to my personal things, you know. Then, because he's pulling you out something out of you and challenges you and make you think further than where you are. When you go to military, that's what first thing that you do. They put you into a basic training, and they make you do things you never thought you could do. And when you do, they say, oh my gosh, I think I could do this. That's what we need to have. You know, our church, initially to the child, yeah, we gotta take them slowly, one step at a time. But we gotta take you guys into a level of young man. Sometimes you got to pull you into a boot camp and say, come on, guys, we could do this. Yes, I know we got a storm coming, and I know we got all those things, but we can't stop praying just because of that. Hey, we got to keep on going. I know we live in Hawaii, but we can't just relax. Hey, we got to be a battle warriors. We got to learn how to do that. We got to be that young man that overcomes the devil. You see, this is what he said. You know, a lot of us are on the defensive mode. Maybe that God will just protect me and I don't have to go through that. God didn't say it that way. God said, you overcome it. You go after it. Hey, gates of hell should not prevail against you. You know what that word is? A lot of us looking at the gates of hell, and we look at it and it goes like, oh, gates of hell. Maybe, you know, that, you know, Satan will attack us and I'll be protected. That's not what it means. You go there to where hell is, where a demonic spirit is, and you go attack. And when you are attacking the gates of hell, the gates of hell shall not prevail against you. That's what it means. We get it in total wrong direction. We got to learn how to fight, go after, be offensive, not in the defensive side. Hey, in military tactic, the greatest defense is the offense. Isn't that right? And that's what we got to do. And we got to go after that. So that's what young man's supposed to do. Can we go to the next slide? So we are learning about how to be free by overcoming the work of the devil. And so the very first part is repent and forgive. The second part is know your position, who you are in Christ. I talk about that a little bit. And use the power, third part, is that belongs to you. So, you know, they talk about a spiritual gift. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. I want you guys to understand and know that those things are real and exist and operates today. The problem is this. We don't tap into it. We don't take chance to do it. I remember, you know, when I was young and I followed a lot of back then I was hungry for God and, you know, and I follow a lot of evangelists and a lot of people. And, man, they got some powerful people back then. And, you know, they're not all Pentecostals. They're Baptists and Presbyterians, and those guys, like, I remember my spiritual mom, you know, who cast the demon out of my sister, and I was there for like a whole month to see the process and what God was doing. Man, she was a Presbyterian, But I know about her. That she wake up 4 a.m. in the morning. She goes to church. Because I have to follow her. Go there. And she doesn't come back home. This is an everyday thing. Until 10 a.m. She prays 6 hours every single day. And she's praying, praying, and she's going through the breakthrough. I never saw her not reading the word. She reads at least 10 chapters every single day. And she told me this. She said, Jacob, I can't overcome, or I cannot, I keep forgetting who I am if I do not do this. I need to remind myself who I am in the Lord by reading the words and seeking Him. And when I do that, I feel His power reside in my life and what He does. You guys know that? You are a child of God. Do you guys all raise the children, most of you guys. Do you just leave your children alone? My attention and my eye is always with my children. Are they okay? And if anybody come and mess with my child, I don't care who you are, you have to go through me. Now I got grandchildren. They're more so. They said, like, my child, I love them. I love my grandchildren. And nobody mess with my grandchildren. Guys, did you know God has the same heart? He loves you. He cares about you. And His eyes is always towards you. That's what He said. And so, because of that, the Holy Spirit is residing in our hearts. And He has a gift for us to operate in. Amen? And so that's what we got to get into. Okay, can you go to the next one? So why are we not free? We got all those things. Why are we not free? Number one, I'm going to say this, and don't get offended by me, guys, but because we're lazy. Okay? I'm going to read the whole thing, okay? All right. Comfortable with where you are. You guys, what if God called you guys to China? Would you guys go? What if God called you to Africa? Would you guys go? What if God called you to North Korea? Would you go? Would you willing to pay the price to live this awesome, comfortable, incredible Hawaii? To go to those places? Would you? You know, God wouldn't make you do that overnight. But God will challenge you every single day. He said, can you come to Wednesday night prayer? Can you come to a Saturday morning prayer? Can you come to Touch Heavens tonight at 6 p.m.? You see, the little obedience become a bigger obedience later down the road. And we are satisfied with what we do on Sunday morning and what we do, what we participate Sunday morning, and that's it. And I know it's hard sometimes. We got a lot to do. We understand that. But you know, sometimes when we come to a place and say, God, I will do exactly what you want me to do. And you know what? God will start to give you, little by little, or test you and say, hey, come follow me. One more step. Remember Elijah and Elisha? Elijah said to Elijah, he said, hey, come. He said, but you stay right there. It's okay, you stay right there. What did Elijah say? He said, no, I am going to go until where you want to go. You know, very end, the Elijah said, man, this guy does not leave me alone. Now, look at Elisha, and he said, Elisha, what do you want from me? And this guy, oh my gosh, he said, I want a double portion of your spirit. Now, you guys got to understand this, okay? If they ask me, say, I want to, Pastor Hong, I want a double portion of your spirit. It's like, you know, that's a little bit, you know, up, you know. That's not much. But when he's talking Elijah, the guy, the prophet of the prophet, like who was pretty much ruled the whole Israel with the power of God. This guy was doing incredible miracles one after another. And God was doing incredible things through him. And he said, he had audacity to say to him, and he said, I want a double portion of what you have. Can we do that? I know some of you guys say, God, can you give me a house in Hawaii? God, you might ask some of the impossible things. Why can we not ask an impossible thing in the spirit? God, can you give me something that I have never experienced in my life? Even Apostle Paul said when he was writing the second, 1 Corinthians, he said this, I pray every day that I have the gift of the Holy Spirit, that I pray tongue more than all you. And I pray that God will give me more abundance of his gift in my life. He didn't stop. When you look at in Apostle Paul's, and when he wrote Philippians, what did he say? He said, I have not obtained it. I press on for that. For that. You know, every that is different from every single people. But that, for Apostle Paul, said, for that God has given me, I press on to grab hold of that. Can we do that? Can we not stop at where we are and be comfortable at where we are? Or can we go on to the place where God wants us to be? Lazy, but comfortable at where we are. But we should go on. I want to tell you to young people, you guys will not stay young forever. I want you guys to know that I used to have hair. I want you guys to know that I used to be skinnier than I was. And I want you to know that you will get old. And, you know, things will start to slow down. And I want you guys to know this, that Bible said in the book of Solomon, Ecclesiastic talks about this. He said, how blessed is a young man who served the Lord while you are young. Because I'm telling you, don't give God a leftover of your life. Give him the best. Give him your prime. Give him what you have for the Lord. Let's not be lazy. Go after God. Can we do the second part? So, you know, you guys saw Lion King, right? In the Lion King, he said this. You know, that his father passed away, and then Simba was playing around with the Timmons and all those pigs, and eating all the things that they eat. And then one day, his father came out in the vision. He said, remember who you are. I never forget that. And he said, you're supposed to be the next lion in the king. And here you are. You act like this. But you know what? You have much more power than what you got. You are lion. Do you guys know that God is saying the same thing? Remember who you are. You are a child of God. I gave you a power. I put on the full armor of God. I gave you the word of God to attack. You know, book of Joshua? It's all about conquering a promised land. Did you know there is a part that you need to conquer for your life? You guys don't back down just because your children is not serving God. Don't back down just because your relationship is not going down, going where you're supposed to be. Don't back down because there is certain things that you can, it seems like it's hard to overcome. Don't back down because I'm serving a God who can do impossible. I'm serving God who could do all things. I serve God who split the Red Sea. I serve God who bring down the Jericho wall. I serve God who can do all those things. Remember who you are. Remember who you are. Can you go to the next one? And the next one is you're afraid. We all are. You're fearful of the things that we are encountering. Is that right? We're fearful. And God, every single time when God appears to people, Jesus appeared to the disciples. He said, fear not. That's the first word he said. God, don't look at the thing that what you see with your fleshly eyes. But look at things that what I can do for you and through you in the power of the Holy Spirit. Fear not. Fear not. Let's go to the next one. So how do you overcome fear? A couple of things that we could see here. So when you see Gideon, you know that the word Jehovah Shalom, that Lord is our peace, actually came out from that part. How did that happen? You see, Gideon was afraid. He was hiding from Midianite on his own. And then the angel of the Lord appeared to him and started speaking to him and say this. He said, you are a warrior in the Lord. Wow. This guy was a timid, afraid, a coward. And God didn't look at that. God said, what God looking at and speaking to him for what he's going to be. Amen. Can we do that to our children? Can we do that to ourselves? Can we do that to the people around us? He said, hey, I'm a child of God. God have a great plan for you. You know, my whole perspective to looking at our students changed this year. Because, you know, last year, you know, I was going after him like a drill sergeant. And those of you who went to military, you understand what the drill sergeant call you. They call you with all the books, all the name in the books and more. Right? You learn a new language there. So goes, and I have bad attitude toward my students because how they behave, how they are at the time. And then Lord said, don't look at how they are at the time and where they are right now. Look at them, how they're going to be, how God's going to change them. And how God's going to use them. So that's what I do. I still discipline them. I'm not going to let them get away. But I tell them differently. Hey, you guys, I want you guys to know that God loves you. And God have a purpose for you guys. And God, you know, this nation needs you. One of the motto of our Christian Academy is a patriot. God need a patriot for this nation. And you guys won. You guys will be that one. Who will lay down your life for this nation and for God. I start breathing of the word of God in their life. Gideon had an encounter with God. And when he had an encounter with God, an engagement with the Lord, then he started to what? Worship the Lord. And when he worshiped God and make a right with God, that's the time that he called that altar a Jehovah Shalom. You see, you need to have a peace with God first before you engage into the battle with the enemies. Amen? You need to come to the place and say, God, I want to. Lord, I am so sorry for the things that I have done. I am so sorry for the idols that I have worshipped. You know, idol is not something that the word bow down like a Buddha statues. There's a lot of idols that you know and I know that we have. They're very invisible idols that we worship. Spending more time on those things than the scriptures and the prayers and serving the Lord in our life. You know and I know that. And those idols, we got to learn to let it go. And say, God, you are number one in my life. I'll do whatever you tell me to do. And when he made a peace with God, Jehovah Shalom, then he become the warrior who bring down the idols of his own life and the idols of the nation, the Gideons. Look at Joshua. What was one of the hallmark of the Joshua? That he was overcoming the fear. He was faithful. Amen. Joshua was there. Whenever Moses is there, Joshua was there. And Joshua was faithful before the Lord. Guys, you got to learn to be faithful. Amen. Got to learn to be faithful before God. No matter what happened, I will not give up. I will be here no matter what happened. You know, one of the things that I learned early age going through Korean church is a Korean church plan churches through division. Did you guys know that? We divide so much. It's unreal. It was so crazy, the things that I had to go through. And then Lord spoke to me how to be faithful. Even in spite of things that are going on in a church, God said, faithful in where you are. I remember I was very, very critical to my pastor. I said, man, he's so bad. He's so... I say all these things to my heart, you know. And then one day, when church split is about to happen, I opened up the Bible one night. I was had a bad attitude. And then I opened up the book of Exodus and the parts that where all those guys came in to Moses. He said, hey, we're better than you are, you know. And then God said to Moses, he said, Moses, step aside a little bit. And God opened up the earth and putting those guys inside the earth and he closed it up. He actually showed me in the spirit. And I was like, I was so scared. And then you know what God said? He didn't say too much. He just said one word. He said, don't touch my anointed. He might not have much experience in the ministry. He might not as a gifted and all those things. But I want you to know I chose him and I brought him here. And you learn how to serve him. Be faithful. Man, that night, I had experienced the holy fear of God a couple of times, but that night I experienced the holy fear of the Lord. And I remember I went to the pastor's house next day and just repented. I'm sorry, Pastor, for the things that I had, the attitude that I had in my life. Told you. Church split. I followed the pastor. I stayed on. And out of that, God brought many great things in the future. See, we don't know the future. If you just follow what it seems to be good, then I'm going to tell you, you're going to fail. But you follow what the direction of the Holy Spirit, even though it seems to be bad, you go there, God's going to make something great out of it. Amen? Learn to be faithful. What's the next one? Esther. What did Esther do? Man, after Esther was in a comfortable place, she was queen. And then Mordecai tell her, he said, Esther, you got to go and tell the king about what's going on with Israel. And Esther said, I can't do that. He's going to kill me. And Mordecai had audacity to say to her, he said, you know what? You don't go, God's going to raise up somebody else, and you're going to perish. And God made you where you are for such a time as this. Daughter of faith, brothers and sisters, God brought you here in this place for such a time as this. He have calling for you and purpose. He brought you here for such a time as this. Don't miss that timing. The timing of Carl's timing. There's a timing of the Lord. And God said, this is what I want you to do. Don't dismiss that. And this Esther's, I love that Esther, later on, her response. He said, tell everybody to fast for me. And I'm going to fast too. And she said, if I perish, I will perish. Can we do that? I remember one of the guys, the Navy SEAL said this. One of the guys who was a Navy SEAL, he said, you can never win the battle unless you give it all, unless you're willing to give your life for it. But it's so true. When you are in the battle, if you say, think, if I just duck and maybe this battle bullet will fly over and you will just cease, then you're going to lose the battle. But if you're willing to die for it, you're going to win it. And that's what Jesus said. That's what Jesus said about the kingdom of God. When you give your life and be sacrificial. And then book of Acts. I'll talk more about that later. Can we go to the next one? Next one. I talk about all this. Next one. So sacrifice. Can you see that? That's what we got to be, right? For our generation, willing to take the arrows and protect our kids and our generation and our church. Can we go to the next one? So we got to brave together. Let's go to, I want to talk about this and finish this. Okay, go to the next one. Oh, no. Okay. Can we go to Book of Acts chapter 4? Chapter 4, verse 27 through 31. Can you find that and flash it up there? I forgot to put that on there for me. You say this, for truly against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, with the Gentile and the people of Israel, were gathered together to do whatever your hand and your purpose determined before to be done. Now, Lord, look on their threats and grant to your servant that with all boldness that they may speak your words by stretching out your hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done through the name of your holy servant Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God with boldness. Amen. You know what I'm asking God as I'm preaching this message? He said, God, baptize us with a spirit of boldness. A boldness to get up and say, I am going to forgive my children. I am going to forgive my mom and dad. I am going to forgive those people that I didn't want to forgive. I am going to do the things what God wants me to do. And that's why we are here in this Sunday. That's why God wants to speak to you guys, to be here, to hear this message. Do things that is impossible. But we could do it. Even to see all this book of Acts, they were receiving the persecution. That our persecution is coming. And you know what they did? They come together. You see, when they come together and say, they didn't run away, but they come together and say, God, and they cry out together. And that's what we need, brothers and sisters. We come together on Sunday. And then what are we doing? We come together so we could pray for each other. And we are praying for the God's courage and his braves to come upon us. And so we could cry out to each other and say, God, baptize me with your boldness, with your spirit, to give me boldness to go forward. Amen? Amen. Can we all stand? Hallelujah, God. Before I hand it over to Pastor John, can we just grab hold of someone? Can we just do that right now? I just want you guys to grab hold of someone. Two or three people. And I want you guys to just right now ask the person that you're holding on to, hey, what can I pray for you? Can we just do that? And can we just share our prayer request? And I want you guys to really pray for that person. Come on, let's be courageous to one another. If that person is going through fear, If that person is going through something in their life, hey, let's just really pray for that person. Can we just do that? Hallelujah, God. Let's all pray together right now for that person. Let's pray for the person next to you guys right now. Karabaraka shendarabakasiki. Karabariya shandarabakasiki. We worship you, God, in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Lord God, in the name of Jesus. Holy Spirit, come upon us, Father God. Give us, Father God, the courage, Father God. Lord, give us the heart, Father God. Be brave, Father God, for you, Father God, in the name of the Lord. Kurabariya shandarabakashiya karariya shiki. We worship you, God. We thank you, God. We praise you, Lord God. Kurariya shandarariya shadarariya shakarabakashiki. We worship you, Lord God. God, you are awesome. You have given us, Lord God, the mountain to conquer, Father God. The place, Father God, you want us to go. Lord God, the nation that you want us to change, Father God. A family that you want us to change, Father God, in the name of the Lord. Lord God, there is a people that we cannot forgive. There is a people that we cannot, Father God, do anything about. Father God, but you can. God, I pray, God, in the name of Jesus, look, you give me the heart, Father God, to love, Father God. Lord, to go after, Father God, in the name of the Lord, God. We worship you, God. We thank you, God. We praise you.
Bless you with that this morning, Father, I pray. In Jesus' name.
Hallelujah.
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 Wow. Can anybody say wow? Has God spoken to you this morning? Has God spoken to you this morning? Come on. I think that was a dynamite. Thank you, Pastor Jacob, for being faithful to this message. You've got to understand, has God spoken to you this morning about something? I want three people to just yell at me. What'd you hear? What did God say to you? Come on, this is a confirmation time. Okay, repent. There's a repentance. What else? Who you are. Here's a who you are. Someone else. What? Readiness. Woo. Someone else. That was three. That was too fast. Family. Look at this. Family. Forgiveness. Who said that? Hallelujah. Look, every one of you has a reason to be prayed for today. Every one of you. That you would get agreement on what Lord has spoken to you in your heart this morning by having shared it with somebody else. You bring forth the power of the Holy Spirit in your life. That you declare it over yourself and you get confirmation the Holy Spirit speaks to you through another person. In a moment, I'm going to ask every one of you that just, you want to have that confirmation, come to the altar, and we'll have pastors here, and we're just going to come in agreement with you. Before I do that, though, I want you to know what Pastor Jacob has touched on this morning is where the church is going. Okay, the elders are preparing. In 2 weeks, our summer is over, and we'll be starting our small groups. Our small groups are going to be different this year. We're going to have 10, 8 small groups, 4 men's and 4 women's. We're going to limit sign-ups to 6 people per group, and we're going to go through the finding biblical freedom for 10 weeks, 12 weeks, okay? I want to encourage you to start praying now. If God's speaking to you, you don't want to miss this opportunity because it's all about finding freedom. And once you've found it, courage is going to be unstoppable. You're going to set other people free. It's going to be a swell that just begins to flow in a lot of different places. Can I hear an amen? Get your hearts ready. Pastor Jacob, thank you again for that message. Let me pray, and then I'm going to invite you to come to the altar. Father, in the name of Jesus, we stand here today in awe of your greatness, your mercy to us, no matter our station in life, Lord, no matter our age, no matter what we have accomplished, no matter where we've been, no matter what's happening to us, Father, that you are still God in the midst of it all. There is no mountain in this room that is greater than you, Father. There is no consequence, even from ourselves or from others who might have hurt us, that you can't heal and cause us to forgive and to walk courageously over. Father, we declare over this body today, we're going to move from being children in you, Lord, to being young men and young women who are victorious in all the issues of life, that we can be overcomers beyond what anyone has declared over us in the past. We are new creatures, and we trust you in everything that we do. And I just say it again, no matter what the mountain is, it is not greater than the God that we serve. And if you can trust yourself and believe that yourself, you'll find freedom soon. And I thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. And everybody says, amen. Amen.